Okay, Erev Sukkis, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Pei, and we'll pick it up at the very bottom on Ayin Testament Beis with Omer Rava. So yesterday we were discussing the case about where you had somebody who was mixed in the murderer, and you couldn't exactly tell who was who, so what to do with them. So we had the answers of Shmuel and Reish Lakish. So the war is going to continue. Says Omer Rava. Maybe before we start that, actually, you know, the whole problem was we didn't know who it was. So the Margolius Hayam asks, how is it even possible to have a Metzias where you wouldn't know who the person was? We learned earlier the sugyas about the Inu Hadin, that when a person's sentenced, then they're punished immediately. That's why there's certain days of the week we don't perform, we don't have, the Beis Din doesn't meet, because we wouldn't be able to execute them, so therefore, like Erev Shabbos, so therefore we wouldn't have a case where they'd be sitting on waiting. So he suggests maybe you had different Batei Dinim that kept one place, was like a holding pen for all of them. So you had multiple Batei Dinim meeting and they all had a Gemar Din on different people and put all those people in the same place. That's how you could have a Metzias where you wouldn't know exactly who it was. So then why not just line up everybody? Okay, so one person here, we don't know who it is. So Margolius Hayam asks, you see from the fact that Gemara didn't even entertain that as a Havamina, of just putting everybody up there and just saying, okay, you're all chayav, you have to know exactly which type of misa, what crime the person was guilty of. We see like Bahitzilu Sa'ida, that you have to be able to try to defend the person, to be Malamad Zuchus in them. And if you don't know exactly what the person is being accused of, so then it'll be impossible to defend them. Okay, now park it up. Omarova. Ihochi, meaning if you're going to say this pshat like Shmuel had on yesterday's daf, that there was a case where not everybody had the Gemar Din, or you're going to say like Reish Lakish's pshat, where they were dealing with not humans, but it's a Shor HaNiskal. So, Haini the Kitani Olo. So then, we have a braisa on this that says, Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Afilu Abba Chalafta Benehen. Even if Abba Chalafta, right, my father was amongst them. Meaning, how could that be? It doesn't work. Neither according to Shmuel nor Reish Lakish. According to Shmuel, what, you think that he's amongst a bunch of Rotzchim? It's not possible. It wouldn't be like that. Or no, he's a bunch of Shvarim, a bunch of animals that are things. It can't be. So therefore, it can't be on the shot. So Rav is going to give a different thing. But within this, the Gemara says, again, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Yefilu Abba Chalafta. So Abba Chalafta, was he calling his father by his first name? We know you're not allowed to call it, right? There's the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kibud Avim, Yoredeya. Reish Mem says, the beginning, Tzorech Lizar Me'od B'Kibud Av, Ovi V'Imo Uv Moram. You have Kibud Av and Mora, right? Hagah Mikol Mokmei Beis Din Koyfin Al Mitzvahs Kibud Avim. Okay, we don't force them to do this. Sif Beis Ezehu Mora, Lo Yama B'Makomo, Miyuchad Lo, you don't stand in their place. You don't stand with them. Oh, Mokum Hamyuchalo, his pal in your father's place in Shul. Lo Yoshev Mokum Hamyuchalo, right? You don't sit in his chair in the house, right? House of Bebeso. Velo Soiseris Devarav, you don't contradict him. Velo Machriyas Devarav Bifonav. You're not even saying, yeah, I agree with him, because that implies, so to speak, that your father's arguments weren't strong enough on his own. You needed to support them in that case. Afil lo manirin divrei Abba. Velo yikrenu bishmo. Not to call your father by his name. Lo bechayev belo vimoso. Not to call him by his name, either both while he's alive and even after he's no longer alive. El Omer Abba Mori. Okay, now it's interesting. V'hai continues the Shulchan Aruch source. Yeah, V'hai Shem Aviv K'Shem Acherim. Let's say your father has other names. So Mishana Shmam, you should call them by like a nickname or something like that. Let's say the father's name was Shmuel. So then he's calling somebody else. He shouldn't call them Shmuel. Call them Shmelk or something like that. Give them a nickname or something like that. Ve'im hu shem shehu piloi she'ena kol ragin lekrosbo. But if he has like a interesting name that's not Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, aval shem ragilim bo mutli kros acherim shlo b'fon. If it has like an abnormal name, then you're allowed to use that. So the discussion is about how could Rabbi Yossi say this? Abba Chalafta. So someone explained that he wasn't, Chalafta might have been his name, and he was giving him like a title beforehand. If one uses a title before a person's name, like they ask you, who's your father? So you don't just say your father's name. The Gabbai asks you for his name. See, you could give a title to it. You say, Reb so-and-so. You say, my father's Mr. so-and-so. My father's Dr. so-and-so. So if you give a title before the parents' names, then the postgame point out that That might not that would alleviate the problem. But the Orach HaShulchan in the same Simran Sif Tes Vav, so he is Tameini. I'm so amazed. How could he do this? Skipping a few lines, he quotes a Gemara, right? Rabbi Yosi Amar Afila Abba Chalafta Beinehem, right? He quotes cases of how they could go ahead and call their parents by their name. What about in-laws? What about in-laws? Could a person call their in-laws by their name? So, it's an interesting question. So, in terms of your in-laws, so there's a requirement of kavod for in-laws, but there's not a din of mora, right? So, come according to that, if it's not mora, that's the whole reason why you can't call your father by his name. So, according to that, you would be allowed to call your in-law by his first name. Some people like that. Their in-laws, their children-in-law call them by the name. I call them Abba, whatever it is. Rabbi Yoshev held that you shouldn't do this. He said that you should be treated the same way as a parent as well. What's it called? Okay, there's a few more I wanted just to point out on this, but maybe just... The Shem HaGedolim has a question that someone comes up with. There is a name Abba. So what do you do if your father's name is Abba? So the Shem HaGedolim, the one so brought down, that in that case you call Avi Mori, right? Or, unless you're not speaking in Hebrew, you could call him Dad, you could call him Tati, whatever it is. But the father's name is Abba, then you would not be allowed to call your father the name Abba. That's an interesting point, but it could come up. Abba is a fairly common name. Okay, now back to the Gemara though. So that was like a side point, just about calling a parent by the name. Ella, so now Rava says like this. Omer Rava, Hachi Kama. This is now pshat in how you learn up the Mishnah. Shnayim shahay omdim v'yotze chetz mi b'neihem v'horog. So two people were standing and one of them shot the arrow. Unclear, machloikis, whether it's they both shot the arrow at the same time or it was shot by one of them, we don't know who it was. So shnayim peturim. They're both going to be potter. We don't know who did it. Om Rabbi Yossi, Afilu Abba Chalafta B'neim. And that's now the pshat. Even if Abba Chalafta was one of them, meaning there's two people, and one of them is the Gadol Hador, Abba Chalafta. Nevertheless, we don't say, oh, it must be the other guy. We don't say that. We don't know who it was, and we don't rely upon this and kill the other person. All right, now, moving on. The Shor Shenigmar Dino. Shnis Ari Bishvorin Achirim Alyo. So you had one shor who had a gemar din on it, right? So now he's chayav for skila, right? And then it got mixed in with regular other oxen. Soklin oisan, right? Kill him. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, koinsin oisan the kippa. Rabbi Yehuda says that we put them into the kippa, which we learned about yesterday, is like the room where they just basically no longer live, right? And tomorrow's daf is going to explain what exactly it was, how that worked, where they feed them the grains and stuff like that. So Rashi says the next Hatan is read Bini Chusa, not as a question, just as a straight comment. Para shehemiso v'acherkach yolda. You had a para, cow that killed somebody, and then it gave birth. So im ad shlo nigmar dino yolda. If before the gemar din, then it gave birth. Vlada mutter, the vlad is mutter. Ve'im ish nigmar dino yolda. If after there was a gemar din, and then it gave birth. Vlada oser, the vlad is oser. Nisariv b'acherim, if the vlad now became mixed in with others, we don't know which one it was. V'acherim b'acherim, and then those got mixed in with even another group. Koinsin osel nekipa, you put them into the kippa. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon oimer, mavien osel nebeiz din, v'soiklin osel. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds that no, you put them into the, actually you not kippa, you do skila on them, right? So you see that this brisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So Amar Mar, im ad shlo nigmar dina yaldo vlad muteris. If before there was a gemar din, it gave birth, then the vlad is mutter. Va'afagad v'chinorcho havas misabra. Even though when it was did the maisa negicha, when it gored, it already was pregnant. The vlad was inside. Va'amarava vlad hanogachas oser. One second, Rava holds that a vlad of an animal that gored is osir. He uvlad anochu, because it and the vlad and the mommy are the ones who gored. Vlad v'nir ba'as, osir, a vlad of an animal that had bestiality, he uvlad anivar. They were both violated, right? So therefore, this brisa is a kasha on Rava, because we held beforehand that it was muta, but no, now it's saying it's aser. So Amy have to change it up a little bit and be like this. I mean, it's not a shot where the cow that was pregnant was the one that was gored. It got impregnated afterwards, like this. Im aj l'nigma dino ibra v'yalda, right? If before they had a gemar din, then it got pregnant and gave birth. V'lada mutter. It's mutter. Im ish enigma dino ibra v'lada. If there was the gemar din on it, and it was pregnant and gave birth, v'lada osir. So then, it's osir. Okay, this works well with the Shas topic of ze v'ze gorim, when you have two different things are acting on an object to produce one result. And one of the factors is something that's mutter, and the other factor is something that is osir. So ze v'ze gorim, both this, the thing that's mutter, the thing that's osir, or gorim, cause it to happen, it's osir. So that makes sense, according to this, because this child is born from the bull, so then, and that one was mutter, and then the mommy cow was the osir one, so then, okay, we understand now why it's osir. Ella, bo, lamanda, omer, zev, zeh, gorim, mutter, if you have both things acting on at the same time, ma'ik lememar, so what are you going to say? You know, it's getting hana from the bull that was the father is mutter, so then the kid also should be mutter. And in fact, the Rambam paskins this. The Rambam is in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim. The Rambam writes, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yadad. So over there, the Halacha is talking about a case of you had different factors contributing to the growth of something. Just read the key lines at the end. Okay. So Kol Shedover Oser V'Dover Mutter Garmin Lo. That's our case. You have something that's Osir is causing it, and something that's mutter is causing it. Hareze mutter b'chol makom. So the Rambam paskins like this. The Rambam paskins again in Avodah Zarah Zayin Yudalid. The Rambam paskins that ze v'ze gorim is mutter. So ma'ik lememar. So Ella Ravina is going to say like this. Ravina Ema, you have to change it up a little bit. Im ad shelo nigmar dina ibra v'yalda. If before it had a gemar din, then it got pregnant and gave birth. Vlad mutter. The Vlad in that case is mutter. V'im aj lo nigmar dino ibra. But before there was a gemar din, it got pregnant then. Misha nigmar dino yalda. And then they had the gemar din and it gave birth. Afterwards, after the gemar din, Vlad osir. The Vlad's osir. Because uber yerech imahu. This is a rule that the uber, the fetus, is considered to be a part of the, literally, it's like a mother's thigh, but it means it's part of the body as well. Okay, so that is the pshat in the statement. Okay, next, the Mishnah said, Kol Chai V'Misas. This is going back to the case where if you had different people who were mixed up together, right? So then, if we give you the most lenient form of it, even though some people in there were deserving really more Chomer D'Misa, we only give you the lighter one. Kol Chai V'Misas, Shema Mino, you see from this, Mosul L'Dvar HaChomer, Havi Mosul L'Dvar Kal. That if you're given a hasra'a for a more stricter death penalty, so included in that, it's nichla within the more strict penalty, the lighter form of misa as well, right? And therefore, they could execute them, even if they were chayav for a, like they were chayav a higher one, I don't know, call like sreifa, you could give them chenek or something like that. You could give them the lesser one. There's a Rambam. The Rambam has an interesting pshat over here. You know, when we talk about giving somebody misa, does that mean you can kill them by any kind, any type of, any one of them, if you're not able to give the actual one? So it could be that it's a machlokes rishon, it could be it's only limited to a case of a rotzeach or an ir hanidachas, right? That you'd be able to give any type of form of misa, but by other people or chayav misa, meaning excluding the rotzeach and excluding the anshir hanidachas, then you wouldn't be able to necessarily give them any misa possible, but only a lesser one. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, hachamai askinan. So 1 second, what are you talking about over here? Do you see the following case? Kigon shehisru bostam. You just gave a general hasra. Don't do this. If you do this maaser, you're going to be killed. V'hai tonahu detanye. The following tanam. Sha'ar chayv misas shebetora eim amisin osan el be'eda, meaning Eda the Bezdin of 23, ve'edim with witnesses, v'hasra, and if they gave a proper hasra, ad shodiyuhu shehu chayv misas Bezdin, in order that the witnesses tell the person, their modiah him, that he is chayv misa. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shodiyuhu be'eze misa hu neharig. Not only do they have to tell you chayv misa, they have to tell you which in fact misa you are chayv. If you do this, we're going to kill you, versus if you do this, you're going to get skila. So who does the halacha follow? The Rambam brings this down in Hilchos Sanhedrin Yud Beis Beis. The Rambam says, Ketzed Masrin Bo, Omrim Lo Pirsh O Altas Is Ze Avera Hu V'chayv Ata Aleh Amisas Beis Din O Malkus. Right? So he says that you have to, you tell him, don't do this, you're going to be chayv. Im Pirsh Potter, the guy stops, his Potter. V'chein Im Shosok, he's quiet. Oh, Hirchin Barosho Potter, Afilo Omer Yodeani Potter, Ad Shiyatir Atzma Lemisa, V'omer Almanaskein, Ani Oisev Achakach Yeharig. Right? And he says, no, I'm doing this al menaskein. But you see from the Rambam that he paskins that you do not have to give the actual, type of misa. He holds like the Rabbonin, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who held that it has to be specified. Tana Kama la yolif mimokoshesh. Okay, so the Tana Kama, who held that you had to actually speak out and tell him, this is the type of misa you're going to get. So, I'm sorry, wait, I said back. I flipped it. Let me correct that quickly. The Tanakam is the Rabbonin, who holds that you don't say which misa. They learn from Mekoshesh, right? Because Mekoshesh, that you didn't, they didn't tell him which one it was. They just told him it's Chayv Misa, which is like the general warning. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mekoshesh Horasha Haisa. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that, no, you can't learn from Mekoshesh. They didn't specify. That was a Horasha. That was a one-time exception. But for that one case, yeah, he didn't get the type of misa, but for any other subsequent people, you would have to inform them exactly which misa they are chayav of. So I think it was a few days ago, set over from the Biuri Chassidus, but it wasn't on that, it was by the Megadi, it was over here by the Mekoshesh, that they bring from the Ishbitzer that he says, no, what does it mean over here that the Mekoshesh was Harasha Haisa? So first of all, who was the Mekoshesh? So it's a discussion, I think in Shabbos, the discussion maybe it was Salafchad, right? That's why the Benos Salafchad, the Benos Salafchad said our father wasn't part of the rebellion, Mekorach, he wasn't part of the, okay. Rabbi Kiva was one who identifies him, and the Rabbanim said to him, why did you identify the person the Torah kept it secret from us who it was? Maybe it was Tzlafchad, but the Torah doesn't specify it, and why did you tell us that it was Tzlafchad? V'afal pichein, the Ishbitzer has a chiddush, Kedarka Mekodesh. He wants to say that the Mekoshesh Eishim was a Horasha, he was L'shem Shemayim. He wanted to show people the severity of Chilul Shabbos. So, in my own words, he quote-unquote took one for the team. He was Mechal Shabbos for Hesia and was Moiser Nefesh to have himself killed, literally, so that people would realize the seriousness of Shabbos in future generations. So that's not necessarily the Poshup Shop. That's where the Ishbitzer and Meshilach that they bring in the Biri Chassidus, that they want to explain that's why it's not necessarily a proof for giving a Hasra using the form of Misa versus not using the form of Misa. Okay, then the next part of the Mishnah said, Haniskalin b'nisrafim. So again, you got the people mixed up. The people getting skila got mixed in with the people who are chayev srefa. Samasni lo Rav Yechezkel l'Rami b'rei. So Rav Yechezkel said over to Rami, who's his son, Hanisrafim b'niskalin. It's a case of the people who were nisrafim are mixed in with the niskalin. Like he flipped the order. Reb Shimon Oimer Yidonu Beskila Shasreifa Chamura. So Reb Shimon holds they all get the Skila because he holds that Sreifa is the more strict, as we explained previously, because we don't know, you can't give him a more strict one, but you can definitely give him the less strict, which includes all of them. Omule Rab Yehuda. So Yehuda, the son of Vichezgel, he says to him, Abba, my father, Al Tisne Hachi, don't teach it this way. It's very hard to understand it the way you explained it, right? My area de Sreifa Chamura. Why is it specifically that Sreifa is more Chamur? No, tape aglay derubo niskalin ninhu. Just learn out that rove are they're gonna get skila for a different reason, because the majority of these people in here are chayav skila, and strafe is more strict than obviously nichla within that is the skila. Ella, so he asks him back then, right? So he says to Rabbi Chesgel, says back to Rabbi Yehuda, hechi asne. So how then should I have taught it? If you don't like my pedagogical approach, I didn't explain in a clear enough way. So then how should I have said it? So he says like this. This is how you should have said it. Haniskalin b'nisrafim. Reb Shimon Omer, yidono b'niskila shasrefa chamura. See, hachi ain't a seifa. Then what would they do with the seifa? V'chachamim omerim yidono b'srefa. The chachamim say that you should get srefa. Why? Shaskila chamura. Right? Tepak le derubo nisrafim ninhu. So you just learned it out from the fact the majority of people would get srefa, because according to the chachamim, skila is more stringent, and therefore it's certainly they're all chayev srefa, right? So awesome. So he says back, no, over there rabbanan hu deka amrile the Reb Shimon, that's what the rabbanan were going to answer back to Reb Shimon, lididoch, but according to you the amrile srefa chamura lo skila chamura, but according to you hold that the skila, I'm sorry, the amrile srefa is more chamur, right? So it's not true, because skila is more strict, right? And that's why it was a little bit verbose, the language of that case, whether you say after the rove or not. So now when you overheard, Omer le Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinina, you're a sharp one. So it's normally assumed that that's a shvach. It's, you know, it's you're sharp. You're harif. You got good logic over there. Continue. Velo tame le lavuchachi. But you shouldn't speak over to your father in such a way. Detanya, harei shehu shahaya aviv oivir al divrei Torah. If you see your father transgressing what it says in the Torah, lo yomer lo, don't say to him, Abba, father, avart al divrei Torah, you just did an avera. Elo omer lo, you should say to him, Abba, kach ksi b'torah, like as a question mark, is that what it says in the Torah? What it means? So fainuach. Really, it's the same thing. Ella omer lo abba. You say like this. Abba mikra kosa b'torah kachu. You say there's a pasuk in the Torah, and you tell them the way it's said over in the Torah, and then that would be the more appropriate way of dealing with a sensitive situation. Rashi in the top of Pei Aleph says lo teim lo avuchach lahodio behedya shutoe. Don't say it straight out. You made a mistake. Mishum de mikzaf umitztayer. He's going to be embarrassed. He's going to be mitztayer. He's going to be pained. Ela omer lo abba kach kosu b'torah. You see them. This is what's written in the Torah. Kasal kadaitach b'tmiya ka'omer. Mean like as a question, right? Abba, I see you smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. V'chi kach kosu b'torah. Does it say that in the Torah? No, it's a so hanuach. It's going to be the same thing. Devaisho, right? You're embarrassing him. Va'omer v'chi yafa ata oisa. You're doing the right thing. Ella rather, what's the sensitive way of dealing with the situation? B'nichusa, as a straightforward, not as a question mark, but as a statement to the father. Omer lo, you say to him, Mikra ha'omer b'torah. The Sephora says, lo svar ish b'chol mosh v'seichem. Don't have any fire. Don't light fires on Shabbos. You tell him it. V'omer lo, Abba, Avi, Mikra kach v'kach kosu b'torah. You show, you point out in the Torah where it says this. V'hu atmo yasim alibo amazem mazkiro. He himself will figure it out for himself. You shouldn't say lo tisnase hachi. You shouldn't teach it like this. So that was the proper yet refined way, again, with dealing with the sensitive subject of how to deal with a parent. So it's interesting. You know, we had in the beginning of the daf and at the end about kibud avim. There's a wonderful series of books written by Rabbi Jachter called Gray Matter, and he has a chapter in there on limitations for kibud avim. And he brings a tshuva from Rav Yoshev Zatzal. It's an interesting case. You had a person whose parents, he was a Sephardi. His parents were not religious, and they raised him in an Ashkenazi yeshiva system. And this is the way the guy was basically, you know, going through his whole life that way. And he says when he gets to like his mid-30s, you know, the father now is chozer b'tshuva, and the father, who's Sephardi, wants the son to become Sephardi as well, even though he's an Ashkenaz, J-dub as they say. So what do you do in this case? There's going to make a wedding, and It wasn't his wedding, it was the wedding for the grandson. So the father wanted it to be done according to Sephardic Minhagim, and he says, I'm going to boycott it if you don't come. So he asked Rabbi Elisha, he points out two questions. First of all, is he allowed to keep on being Ashkenaz? Does he have to go back to that? Right? And then does he have to obey? That's his first question about he himself. And then also by the Chasana, does he have to acquiesce to his father's request and do it according to Eidukam Mizrach, right? The Sfarish Minhagim. So he brings in the article. The first thing he brings in the Gemara in Pesachim, which just talks about, first of all, the importance of keeping family Minhagim, right? Not changing pronunciations, not changing the Nusach that one davens. It's a major machlokis. In the discussion chapter, he quotes also from a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, where it was a sad situation. But there was a community that had two different shuls. They had an Ashkenaz shul and a Sephardic shul. And there was a pogrom. And unfortunately, it's very sad, but there weren't enough people left in the community to have two separate shuls. So the tshuva that the Chasam Sofer writes is that pick one and go with it. Everybody either becomes Ashkenaz or everybody either becomes Sephardi. So you see from there that you could change it, right? Because whatever, you know, you follow whatever... whatever minhagim you want, but that's it. You could change. I know Rabbi Labaton, Olive Shalom, is a wonderful Syrian rabbi in the Deal community. So someone once became frum through his correspondence. The person was in jail. The person was Ashkenaz, but because of his relationship with Rabbi Labaton, Olive Shalom, he wanted to take on. He followed Syrian minhagim. So you could do this if you're picking. You pick. You can't go back and forth. But here he's saying like this that he became the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer is that idea. So the second point he talks about, about the father's request. So that's a major machloikis in the whole idea of Kibud Av Ve'Em. So Machloikis Rishonim, basically it's the point that the way they say it over classically is the Ramban versus the Makneh. So according to the Ramban, and other Rishonim well understand that Kibud Av Ve'Em means doing physical, services for the parent, right? You can read the Shulchan Aruch, and Reish Meir talks about what things you have to do to feed them, to dress them, to help them walk around if they need assistance, to drive them places. That's Kibud Av. But that's the Ramban, is the services. But according to that shot, if a parent makes a request, your mother says to you, I think you should get blue towels in your home and you want green towels, who cares? You don't have to listen to your mother's request for what color bathroom towels you use. However, the Sefer Makneh learns differently. Excuse me. He holds that more Av says you have to even honor their requests, even when it has nothing to do with it. There's no shaychus whatsoever to your mother to what color towels you have in your home. But if she says, I want these, so according to the Machna, then it would be required to do that. That falls under the extent of Mora Av, Mora Aim. So in this case, then, it would seem that with the kid whose father, again, wants him to make the chasana, Chatuna in Sephardic practice. So if it was the Makneh, he would say, yeah, that's a request, and that would be required. But at the end, the Pesach given by Rav Lashley, he says no, that the son doesn't have to honor his father's request to change his lifestyle and become go back to becoming Sephardi. He could stay Ashkenaz. This is what he's been. He's his family. It's a whole. It's a whole big, it's a major lifestyle change. I just want to read the conclusion he has. It's very beautiful. Rav Liashev's ruling has important ramifications for parents and educators. We see a child has the halachic prerogative to join a legitimate Orthodox group that differs from his parents' practice. If the child feels more comfortable living a more Hasidic lifestyle, a more centrist Orthodox halachic lifestyle than his parents, the parents do not enjoy a halachic right to veto the change. If the child acts in accordance with halacha, the practices of his new group are endorsed by at least one recognized Torah giant, then the child is not required to heed the parents' objections to his new halachic and hashkafic lifestyle. Of course, it's necessary for the child to consult with a recognized halachic authority to determine if his actions are appropriate. Parents should help their children by not making it too difficult for them to fulfill the mitzvot of kibud and mora av ve'em. Okay, wishing everybody a wonderful Yom Tov.